What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for coming back and returning. Season two, we're going long and strong, everybody. If you're watching, you already see this beautiful face in front of me. I'm so excited to introduce them to you in just a second. But I have a little bit of homework for you. Go to those reviews, go to those ratings, give us some stars, share with somebody that you know it'll resonate with, because the most likely they see it, it'll come out in their algorithms as well. That song you just heard is called Mi Corazón. You could download it wherever you stream your favorite music. And today, your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, while being an entrepreneur and having spirituality. I'm so excited to introduce to you guys, Viet Dang. Everybody, welcome, Viet. Hi, Viet.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, welcome, gorgeous.
Hi, Andrew.
So good to see you. Can I give you a little introduction, a little bio?
Yes, please.
All right. So here we have Viet Dang, an internationally known hip-hop dancer, dance teacher, and choreographer. Ethnically Vietnamese and raised in Switzerland, Viet has danced at the Grammy Awards, the MTV European Music Awards, AMAs for artists such as Christina Aguilera, Rihanna, Muse. He also has danced in music videos for stars like Beyoncé, Justin Timberlake, No Doubt, Nelly Furtado, etc. He has worked as an assistant choreographer for U.S. singer and top stars like Kesha for the Swiss Music Awards. Viet has received universal acclaim for his choreography of the TV series So You Think You Can Dance in Poland, as well as for his outstanding work for music video productions in Switzerland and abroad. Viet Dang teaches hip-hop workshops and masterclasses on a regular basis all around the globe, such as Spain, Portugal, Argentina, Japan, Switzerland, Poland, Italy, Germany, etc. And he speaks seven languages. Oh my God. Every Tuesday, you can catch Viet and Friday at teaching at IDA Hollywood in Los Angeles. Welcome, welcome, babe. How are you? Bravo. Wow. Oh my goodness. How does it feel to hear back some of your accomplishments? And that's just like a snippet of it, because I've known you for a long time and you're so talented. So in reflection, like, yeah, how does it feel to hear someone read back a little bit of your legacy?
You know, you don't really feel a lot. I mean, I don't really feel a lot, because when I do it, I'm so in the moment of doing it. And, you know, I have such a mindset of like never be good enough, you know? So I'm like, I hear this and I'm like, well, that one hasn't paid me yet. This one has treated me like that. you know,
I this love one the honesty. Yes.
This one was a bitch. This one was very nice, but the money wasn't right. So I'm like, yeah. So hearing all this accomplishment, I'm like, I should be rich, right?
Yeah, especially when you hear names as big as Christina, Beyonce. Like, these are legends, icons, you know, that are touring the world. But I have had the opportunity to collaborate and work with you as well. And I'm grateful that we've crossed paths. And coincidentally, we were also neighbors in Echo Park, California. Like, yes. Literally neighbors, you guys. Like, hello, can I borrow some milk? You want some butter? and it was, I mean, that's just like how Los Angeles is, right? It's inevitable that you're going to cross paths with other artists of different genres. And we did a submission music video for Madonna's song Ghostwriter, which was awesome. And Viet came down this long pole with his gorgeous hair, like, you know, almost like a curtain, unveiling his beauty. And I did the Madonna impersonator lookalike. And it was an amazing experience.
You know what was funny after that job? It like came full circle.
Yeah.
The girl that assisted was one of the dancers in that music video.
Yeah.
In that video for submission, she ended up working as assistant choreographer for Avatar 2 and 3 with James Cameron. And she ended up hiring me, booking me directly working for James Cameron.
That's
for
incredible.
Avatar 2 and 3. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So, mindful artistry, my crowned community, this is what it is to be an artist and creative and network with others and always be like-minded and good at your job and your craft, because you never know. You know, he got referred to that Avatar 2. You just never know who's listening, who's going to think about you, and who's going to remember how you made them feel on that particular gig. So, and for me, same thing. Like, I remembered how well, we worked together, so I'm like, I'm gonna have to with Viet somehow in the future. And even more importantly, you were in the cover of my book. You were La Araña, which is chapter six, like really close to mi corazón, like my literally my heart. All out there to just inspire and help others. So that's why I wanted you to be here on Mindful Artist Podcast, because I feel you represent all those different factors of this community. But let's go back in the past. Let's rewind a little bit. Flashback. Baby Viet, Switzerland. How was it growing up? Were you always creative? Were you always wanting to be a dancer? And were you spiritual in any way?
So we need to wind back a little bit more because I was born, Vietnam War,
Correct.
and I
Yes.
was born in a refugee camp. So my parents
Wow.
flew from the war by
Yeah.
boat, and they ended up in Malaysia, on an island that the UN
Yeah.
just prepared for 100 refugees. But at the end of the time, like at the end of it, like 350,000 refugees lived there. I
Yeah.
was one amongst them. So yeah, so there was
That's
born,
heavy.
yeah, there was born that year. Apparently, 30 kids were born, and
Yeah.
six made it out alive there. I was very sick because there was not enough hygienes. Every adult got one can of rice per week and one can of tuna every 2 weeks. That was the
Oh,
portion
wow.
that we got. And so I was very sick, and I lived there for 10 months, and then the Swiss government offered us asylum, the whole family, and then that's how I moved to Switzerland. Yes.
Wow. Do you have
So
any memories of that?
I only have memories of Switzerland,
Okay.
and the only if you can talk about trauma, whatever. The only thing that I'm really bad at is hunger. When I get hungry, I cannot stand that feeling, and I get really hangry.
Yeah.
Like the
Yeah.
person you see now, it's like nothing compared to the person that is hungry. And
I mean, I can relate, but probably not to your levels, because that you were literally eating to survive. Like that was, just kind of.
I mean, they ate lizard. They just ate whatever the island had to provide or did not have to provide.
Yeah,
So it was, yeah, it was.
absolutely.
So yeah, Jungle Boy.
I
And
love
then,
that.
yeah, then moved to Switzerland. I was always creative in a way that to answer your question,
Yeah.
in a way that maybe because of the harsh environment, I was always in a dreamland, else I wouldn't have survived it. I wanted to believe in the good in the world and people, and I wanted to live in fairy tale land, basically. And so my mind was always there. Yeah, I think I was always creative, like creating at least my own stories
Yeah.
in my mind.
Yeah, I feel you were kind of cinematically creating the fantasy of what you want to aspire to do and what you were trying to achieve and what could be outside of that, little bubble that you were being raised in. But how Switzerland seems like a really cool open country and just I don't know, open-minded and diverse. And I mean, I've never been, but just from what I hear, the deep breadth of it all.
Do you know the story about Meghan Michael and the way she talks about the crown? Where they
Yes.
didn't understand
The monarchy.
color, the monarchy, but also that the racism that was happening there, but people don't understand. And
Correct.
that's a little bit how Switzerland is so homogenic. And I mean, it's a fairy tale land, for if you go there on vacation, but people are so homogenic and so conform that everything that is past the middle ground in a good or bad way, it's just too much, So I didn't really fit in, and also it was in the 80s, so there wasn't most people are blonde and blue eyed and brown, and
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
not. And compared to America's at least is outspoken about racism. So if you at least can talk about it, I mean, if you even
Have a dialogue.
you can have a dialogue, in there, it's not really an understanding of it at all. It's not, I
It's
mean,
unspoken. It's like
it's
the
like, yeah, it's more like We don't, it's not like they see color. It's not they like black or white. Like, no, you're just not Swiss enough. You know, you're just not Swiss enough. And what does Swiss mean? You know, like then this comes to definition, you know. And
Blonde and blue eyes.
you know, I'm never Swiss enough, you know, even like nowadays. And I speak this language, Swiss German, perfectly from a very specific region, which is Basel. So if I talk it on the phone, you don't see my face. Everyone thinks I'm native. But if I go to stores nowadays, still they speak English to me still, you know.
Yeah, interesting. So wait, so we have Swiss, German, English, Vietnamese.
Yes.
What am I missing? That's four. There's three more.
French, Spanish,
French,
Italian,
Spanish.
and I do a little bit Japanese as well.
That's right, because
Because
we have spoken
I don't consider
Spanish.
Swiss as a it's considered a dialect, it's not considered a language, you know, another language.
Correct,
So even
correct.
though they don't understand each other, like German don't understand Swiss people, but Swiss people do understand. It's more like
Correct.
Scottish. It's
Yeah,
almost like
yeah.
Scottish and English or British, you know,
Yeah,
that's kind of
yeah.
thing.
I love that. Does your brain have to go to different parts to wear, like, I'm gonna wear my English hat now, I'm gonna wear my Spanish hat. You know what I mean? Like,
No, I think it's similar for you as well. I mean, you can
I mean, I
switch
have
like
two.
this,
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
English and
like
Spanish. That's it.
Spanish, the same thing too. Like I just switched. The voice is just made in a different place of your mouth. So that's it might go a little bit higher or
Yeah.
deeper, but that's
That's
about
a
it.
good point. It's a
You
little bit
know?
like singing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm not a singer, but yes, tonality and melodically, you do have to use your voice in a different capacity when, because everything in Spanish is el muy dramático. And it's, you know what I
Yes.
mean? It's just, it's like a telenovela. So
It's
it's,
like it's very
food sounds better.
passionate.
Yes.
It comes from
Making love
the
sounds better.
gut.
Chile sounds better. And English, it's more like, for me, it's a little more authoritative and like storytelling, where
Yes,
there's like a up and down, you know?
I mean, Spanish is, I think, for me, preferred language to like to express your emotion and to fight, you
Yes,
know. And
yes.
English, like German, is matter of fact, you know, to ex like you want to explain something, you can be very correct about it. And then
Yeah, you
English
sound
is
really smart in German, I feel too, like intellectual. Yeah, I love that. I wish I could
that's
speak
it.
Italian. That one sounds so beautiful. And French too, whenever we hit, because we have a mutual friend, Nelly Rekia, who I'm trying to get on here, but she's, you know, we're always trying to figure it out. And French always sounds so beautiful and romantic and like music, but I cannot get it. And it's, Johnny can speak French a little bit. He says it's more like the rote, where I guess Spanish is more like nasal. I don't know. I can't. Like, you roll your R's in Spanish, and then in French you use a lot of glottal, like versus the rolling of the R's.
Give me a second. I
So,
want to close this one door because the wind is
yeah,
blowing and
go ahead,
it turns
go
up
ahead.
and.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm obsessed with languages. I love accents. It's funny hearing the Spanish in this area because I'm currently in Orlando, Florida now, so it's more Caribbean based. So the Latinx generation here is like Cubano, Boricua, Venezuela, Colombia, you know what I mean? So when I'm talking in Spanish and they're like, that you can just see them, they're like, wait, what? Where are you? What? Where are you from? Like, they don't know what I am. Nobody. And I'm like, guess, go ahead, guess. Middle Eastern, Algerian,
Middle Eastern.
Italian. Like, nope, no. I'm like, Latino. Well, what kind of? In Argentina, nope. Nobody guesses Mexican because there aren't that many Mexicans in the Southeast. They're mostly, and the ones that are here, I believe, are more like Cancun, kind of like Tulum, like that kind of region, Caribbean, versus the West Coast or Central Mexico is different. So it's just fascinating to hear. And then Johnny, he's my white girl, you know, he's from Sacramento, so he talks like a Valley girl. So every word is like, and oh my God, and so everyone
Yes.
already is like, where's he? He's from Los Angeles. They can tell he's from LA right away. But what do you get? What kind of guesses do people think?
When they hear me speaking what language?
In general, I guess, in general.
I mean, they just think I'm Asian, you
Yeah.
know, but
Yeah.
for the Vietnamese, I'm not Vietnamese enough. And they're like,
Yeah.
yo, you're Japanese Korean, but then for the Korean, I'm clearly not Korean. I'm not, so I'm just Asian, I guess. But you know, I grew up so multicultural, so it's kind of like
I love that.
everything. Even my English accent. I went to like English accent class to like reduce my accent. So
I
I
don't think
was,
you have an accent. I mean, subtle, slight, but it's
yes,
cute.
but it was really hard to figure out what it is and where. Even for me, like, and it's just so subtle that I can barely hear it. But also the teacher had difficulty to say, okay, does it come from, is it a German English Vietnamese mix or what is it exactly? So
It's very unique. It's very Viet, and it's very you. And don't
yeah.
change it. We love it. Don't retrain that accent. It's part of your charm and character. All right. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about your origins and how you grew up and just the struggles. And it makes sense to why you're such a survivor and a conqueror. And you're always having that like want to just. I don't know, you're out there to conquer and you're on a quest. You know what I mean? I feel like you're on a mission and you're always out to be better and be bigger and level up. And I appreciate that because I see that in your craft, in your choreography. And even when you collaborated with me for my book, like what you evoked through that character for La Araña, I mean, I couldn't imagine. It was just like it was beautiful. So I love seeing you perform and evoke emotion and storytelling through your body. Like, that's just a magnificent gift. Like, when did that discovery happen? When were you like, oh, this feels right? Like, how I'm moving, this fluidness is my language. When did that trigger?
Well, I didn't. I'm like a typical Asian kid, right? Like I grew up like very studying math at home all the time, and being an A plus student, A was barely enough. A plus wasn't good enough.
Yes.
And so I didn't dance until I was 16. You know, like my sister
Okay.
went to a dance class. She paid there for half a year tuition, but then she had issue with her knee, so she couldn't go anymore. And so she said, "Okay, why don't you go?" Like to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, sure. So I went there, and then like 2 3 months in, the teacher was like, "You're talented. You should go to a championship." And I was like, "What? Me championship?" And I didn't tell my parents. So then I was dancing, right? I just right after school, I just went to this 1 hour
Yeah.
class and walked back home, and
Yeah.
so and I never went out as well. And so I was 16, and then the championship was on a Saturday, and then my parents were like, "Where are you going on a Saturday?" And I'm like, "Well, there's this championship. I'm supposed to dance because I'm qualified for them." And she was like, "I'm going to the toilet." So they locked me in the toilet, right? And didn't want me to dance. And my sister was like, "Hey, listen, it's just a one lifetime chance, whatever. Just let him dance. Who cares? You know, like just
Yeah.
this once." Then my mom was like, "Okay, good. You didn't tell us that you were dancing, so there are some sanctions that comes with that. I let
Yeah.
you go for this championship because it seems to be something. But if you win, and only the first prize, you'll be allowed to continue dancing. If you don't, that's it." I was 16. I didn't
Wow.
care. I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know,
Yeah.
probably because she said it's my lifetime ever dancing again. Probably I put all I could in there. I know, but I won. I won,
Of
and
course
from
you did.
that day on, I start dancing and do more and start teaching and stuff like that. And for me, when I was on stage, I realized, you know, this was the only place. Like, you have to remember, I live in Switzerland, right? Everyone is brown, blue-eyed, whatever, and not like this. And stage was the only place where I was not judged for who I am, but celebrated.
Yeah, I
So I
love that.
felt like stage was the place where I could, or camp front of the camera was the place where I could, like, you know, like freely express myself, and in some way got celebrated. Also, it came with a lot of critiques, but I was used to critiques only, you know, because all my
Yeah,
peers were like, "This is not conform. This is not," yeah. So.
I love that. I mean, the fact that you were still following this, it was supposed to just be like a hobby from the sister that you just inherited, and then you still kept going because it brought you like joy. And I love that the parents were like, all right, you can continue, but you have to be number one and you have to be the winner. Otherwise, you're not going to continue. Like that talks about taking risks and going back to your personality of just, you know, always conquering that, like
I don't
you're a
know.
warrior. You're a
No,
warrior.
I don't want to be called. I want to read. I want to retire. I retired long time ago.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, my parents, their goal was not for me to spur me on to win. She was thinking there's no way that I'm gonna win. You know, there's no way the 16-year-old who just danced for 6 months is going to win. And you know, that's it, you know, to have me back into control and back to do the academic routes, which I also finished. But yeah, I don't consider myself as a warrior, and I don't consider myself as someone who's trying to, like, you know, like grow and push
Conquer.
forward at all. You know, that's also, like, if we talk about our quote later, you know, I believe in magnetism more, like attract the things and not chasing things, you know, just like, and that's been have I mean, I used to be different. I used to be like, yeah, don't dream it, be it, blah blah blah, you know. And now I'm at a point I'm like, I'm burned out, bitch. Like, I'm retired. Like, I know my worth. That's who I am. Just take it or leave it, you know,
Yeah,
and
I
that's
hear
it.
that. I mean, you've done the work, you've done the time. Were you ever exposed to spirituality? Would you consider yourself spiritual? And what does that mean to you?
It's funny, you know, like talking about how I fantasize and I thought about it, and I just realized that when I was 9 already, I remember watching a movie about spirituality and Buddha and stuff like that. And that's when I started to actually meditate by myself. And I didn't know it was meditation then. You
How old were
know,
you?
I 9. So, and
Okay.
ever since then, I did almost every day, and it has been ongoing ever since, not until now to today. So, and later in life, I realized, oh, okay, that's called meditation. Oh, there was a specific technique that I even did. I didn't know about it, you know,
Yeah.
like. And so, yeah, I wouldn't brag about it. I would, yeah, but I am definitely,
That's so important that it happened at
yes.
such a young age, ages 1 through 10, as a child brain shape who you are, your essence as an adult. So I love that that happened to you at such an early age where you discovered the power of meditation, because it can really balance you and level you and ground you.
Or
And
maybe my household was that crazy that I just this was my only escape
that was your
that
escape.
I had, you know.
I love it. Yes. All right. Well, that leads me into this next section, a segment that's called How Are You Gonna Love Somebody Else If You Can't Love Your Damn Self First? So, because we're beauty people and we're in that, industry, do you have a self-care beauty regimen yet? And do you take selfishly time to service yourself before you, invest in a project?
Okay, let's start with self-care regimen. My self-care regimen is I wake up pretty early and then I go to the gym. And then after that, I just meditate. And then if I can choose and I don't have to work, I rather don't start my day. You know, like, I want to have my own time until noon. And then after that, I'm functional and I can meet people, talk people, be there for people. Because I think there's always an exchange of energies, you know,
Absolutely.
to my detriment, I guess, I'm very sensitive, you know, as a person. And I just it just pulls me very easily in different kind of direction. Or I don't
Yeah,
want to.
you want to protect your energy.
You
That
know, so
makes
it
a lot of
just,
sense.
yeah, and especially, like, in our industry, you know, like, once you're on set, it's just like
Yeah.
pulling you
It's a
everywhere. So
lot of stimulation.
yeah, so my luxury is being like, my regimen is basically gym, meditation, and be as much as I can by myself, you know.
I love that. Yeah.
That's my thing.
Protect that light, protect that essence. Yes. Very
And
cool.
then your question, the other question is something selfish for me? I think that's been one of my biggest issues, you know, like, I don't know how it is for you as a makeup artist, but us as artists, we often are people pleasers. You know, we do things for, you know, I dance for the applause. Yeah, I used to dance for
Literally.
applause, and
Yeah.
you know, and so I tend to not, you know, not look out for myself. You know, it's, and learning to set boundaries, this has been a very hard lesson for me, you know, especially since the pandemic, a lot of things have happened, and And I I'm really learning to set boundaries for myself, you know, and being really like taking care of myself and ask myself often, what do I want? Because I take care of people easily, you know. It's just it's I grew up in a household with four siblings and two parents, and usually there's multiple generation as well in there, like grandma, whatever there. So you learn how to like navigate everyone, but and you I never really learned to like listen to what I really want. So that has been a challenge for me.
And this is
So
why I want to have these types of conversations, especially for caretakers and creatives like ourselves, because I can relate, person of a ethnic household as well, and almost was a parent to the parents, and a parent to my siblings at times, which, now I'm grateful for it and I can reflect, but did I have frustrations? Absolutely. And now I'm at a point where, everything's a little bit more true perspective. I lost my mother. I've lost two pets that were really, really close to me. And I
I'm
think healthy
sorry.
boundaries, thank you. Healthy boundaries are necessary. Healthy boundaries are something that you should practice. It's never too late to do that. Whatever that means for your selfish time, take care of Viet, take care of, I look at it as baby Viet, 10-year-old Viet. What are you gonna do for him? How are you gonna make him proud? Do you just want to hold him? You know what I mean? Is he feeling hangry right now? Then go get him some ice cream really quick. You know what I mean? But take care of that innocence because it's important. And for times as we're in our adult stage and we're trying to balance our obligations, remembering that innocence, I don't know, for me, it brings it back in full circle and it makes it more special to be that human. Just give gratitude for what you do have, but thank you for sharing that, and I'm happy that we can have this conversation to maybe give you some insight. So what about beauty skincare regimen? Do you take care of, like, this hair? I've worked on this gorgeous hair, and I know you eat well and you take care of what you feed yourself inside, but what is your beauty skincare regimen? Because you still look like you're 20 years old. What are your secrets?
Well, I'm Asian. Well, I think
A good answer. What,
you
Asian
know,
don't raisin, right? And brown don't frown.
I think I will be such a bad person to selling products because I don't do anything. You know, the only thing I do right now is I wash my hair, my face with whatever, and then I just put like water. Usually, like if I can choose non-scented stuff, and then I put CeraVe on my face, a cream, and that's it.
Great.
That's
You
what I
keep it
do.
simple, streamlined.
I'm just lazy. I'm really lazy, and I don't. It has to be easy and convenient because I used to travel a lot, you know, and I don't want to carry all this stuff with me, and I don't have that much time to spend as well. And but I've realized for me, it's mostly what you put inside. So like, as long as I'm eating healthy, I drink a lot of water. I mean, I've never drank alcohol, so it's not my thing. It never was. Maybe thankful to my father because he used to drink alcohol and beat the shit out of us. So that's why we never touched it. And
The
but I
triggers and
only,
traumas of it all, yeah.
yeah, but yeah, I don't, I only drink water and tea. So that's the only thing I do.
Love
And
it. That's a great beauty skincare regimen. Yeah, no, I'm here for that.
and I'm
Water and
just
tea.
very, yeah, and I just cook a
Hydration. Your cooking is good. I've smelled it literally from
lot.
next door.
When I do the spring rolls.
Yes, and then your pastries, you would make like these great little desserts sometimes. You guys, Viet is the neighbor to have for sure. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. So this leads me into our next segment, which is called Love is Art, Art is Love. So Viet, what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your business?
So for me, it's a very good question because you know dance was used to be my biggest love, and because I moved to LA and it was all about love, my love had to make money. I start losing passion for it. You know, I start losing because it started being just like a means to an end. You know, like to book the next job, to pay my rent, to put food on the table, to like, and it's such a roller coaster, this industry, that I start losing the passion for it. So What I do to be creatively now, I play instruments, I start sewing, I start doing like little crafts and stuff, but I
Yeah.
don't, but and what I do is I do it just for myself. I'm trying not to show it off. Don't try to put it on Etsy. Don't try to sell, like do nothing.
No,
Just
yeah.
do it for myself, just for my creative expression. And if things have supposed to happen, they will happen, you know. And it was the same thing with you, you know, like when I did this Madonna submission with you, I didn't thought about trying to like get network people and blah blah blah. It was just like I did it for a friend, and I kind of liked because I was pole dancing then, you know, like just try training, and this choreographer was like, yeah, I want you to do like this pole dancing thing with your look, and that's all I did. And it was a fun moment, and then through this, I got this job, I mean, work with you, and then I worked got this job doing this picture with you, and then also did Avatar, which I never had to audition for, talking about fighting, like talking about like attracting things and not pursuing fighting anymore. I mean, that job just came to me without audition. My agent was like, hey, they're looking for someone who can dance and move, but looks like an avatar in real life, who
Yeah, check
can
off all those boxes.
yeah, and who can teach some like Kate Winslet and Sigourney Weaver how to move like avatars. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, what do you have to do for that? And they were like, well, just go to that studio, and once the director sees you and it vibes, you get it, then else they send you back home, whatever. So I went there to that studio, and then I walked into this room. I didn't know what it was for, right? And then this guy with the white hair comes up to me, you know, which is James Cameron.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I had no clue because I didn't expect it. And so he looked at me and he was like, so you have yet? I'm like, yeah, but can you dance? I'm like, sure. And he was like, okay, go and change. And that's
That
it,
was it.
you know?
Just got chills. That's
And I'm like, okay,
James
good.
freaking Cameron, like that's legendary, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like decades of just cinematic experiences that have changed the world, and you were part of that. That's so cool. That's amazing. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. That's so cool. I
Thank
love that.
you.
Okay, very cool. So let's share some tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
Oh, that's such a big subject for me. I think, you know, I mean, I cannot do different than be. I'm just a discerning person. I just try to think like always in bigger pictures and in generally about things that I do. And as I said before, I always go from a place of trying to be authentic first before I go outside. I don't try to seek things or just do things just to make it happen. With the neighbors, you know me, I'm not a typical networker. You don't see me out and about and stuff like that. I really believe in a lot like of like magnetism. You just attract the things, don't look for it. What was the question again? Sorry, I forgot my.
That's okay. Just to share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity, maybe spirituality into their work too.
Yeah, I mean, if I start to do a thing, I just think of like what is my inspiration. I think like on my intuition. I think instinct and intuition are two different things. You know, instinct is like lower, like I'm not lower, just like, you know, like hunger and sleep and sex, and the intuition is it comes from above. And I try to go with my intuition, and I often think about other people as well. Like, what does this, what I do, affect other people? I have a lot of like people often ask me, hey, why don't you like make a hoodie thing and you can sell it at conventions and stuff like that, you know? And then my thought is like, first of all, the hoodies that I have seen so far, just like to print my name on it, they are how are they made? Who are the people who made it? Like kids' hands again, you know? And it's not stylish enough, you know?
That's valid.
For example, what I have started to do is I start like sewing my own pants. Like, for example, I can show you right now.
Oh, I remember those.
These pants, I just start sewing them, but it's for me and myself. And when I ever walk around the street, or like some people are really want to buy it, you know? And it
Yeah.
doesn't have to be for the mass. I just I don't know. I don't really have an answer to that question because I'm trying to seek it, find it for myself as well. Because I think in this world we need to be more conscious of ourselves, what we do, and also of other people, you know, and not always just only chase the money.
Yeah. Well, you said it beautifully earlier too, that you it's again protecting that innocence, and that you were still feeding your creativity and those juices by doing something selfishly for you. So you're with your hands creating and crafting something for yourself that you're proud of, for you, not sharing it with the world, just for you. And then back to just like being selfish and taking care of your energy in general, I think is why you're so balanced and why you're able to navigate this world and just be authentic and yourself and not have to put on, you know, this mask or whatever. It's always genuine, and I appreciate that. So thank you for sharing that. But so you've done so much. Your portfolio is amazing. You've worked with like, you know, stars, and it's endless, like your credits and the royalties that you have. But so at this point, how do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? And do they overlap in any way?
Well, unfortunately they overlap because I live off my art, or so far I have. So in a way, success is also measured by the money that I make, you know. But I mean, that's one part, that's the entrepreneur part, I guess. The other part
Sure.
for me is like, does it really make me happy? You know, there's like, I mean, I have a huge resume, I mean, as you mentioned, and you know, like 90% of those people, it was horrible experience. You know, like 10% is, and so I'm striving for the 10%, you know. Like, I mean,
Oh.
I've worked, you know, I've worked with so many like choreographers here in LA, and there's only two or three choreographers that I could think of that are have been treated me well and humane, you know, like. Yeah. And that's what I'm striving for. And that's success for me. Like these building a community of people, of caring people, you know. I think one thing that has been on my mind a lot lately is that I don't know, maybe you see it too because you moved away from LA, but the showbiz industry attracts a very certain kind of person, like let's call them people with narcissistic traits, you know, and I feel like LA attracts those people, but specifically the industry. And I've been navigating that, you know, like I'm trying to find the people that are not, don't have those traits. And there's not a lot of them. But I try, success for me is finding those people, working with those people, and making art with those people, because I'm in here for the long run, not for the short, you know. I mean, I've been here for, I mean, I've been dancing for 40, 20, shit. I've been dancing for almost 30 years, you know.
It's
Oh,
amazing.
and I don't plan to stop in any way, but I also know that I don't, there's a lot of jobs that I don't do anymore. I don't want to do anymore.
Yes, absolutely. Setting those healthy boundaries, knowing your self-worth, and I can definitely understand your observations with that particular market. I'm born and raised from Los Angeles, so that's all I really knew. Like, and being creative was something that just w is within me as well, because that was what I inherited through, you know, my mother's expression. But yes, did I experience, you know, people that are not authentic and real all the time? Yeah, a lot of the time. So that 10% that you speak about, those pearls, like hold on to that. And I can tell that when you travel and when you tour and you have your, you know, conventions and your master classes that you're iconically known for, that you attract that as well. I can tell that your following is also that 10%. Does that make sense? So because you're practicing what your authentic self is, and what you're going to attract, what you described earlier as far as like receiving, it's like a give and take. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's fluidness, so which is part of dancing and part of your art. So I think it's beautiful that you can still portray that so genuinely and still fight for those 10%. So don't stop that. Keep that going. And I know it's going to follow you wherever you go. And you're a legend, period. Like in our industry, you are like as modest as you are and humble, which we appreciate. That's why you are a legend. So, and I'm so grateful that we've crossed paths in so many ways, and we're still continuing to do that for each other. And I promise you, this is an artist renaissance. I feel it. If you continue to protect that 10% with others around you, it'll shift the energies that you are supposed to attract, you know? And good things will come. You just got to believe that.
But may I ask, how is it for you to experience now that you moved away from LA? How is it for you to make like friendships or like in business? Like, do you, is there a difference for you? And if so, what is the difference for you? They're talking about like what we talked about, you know, like the narcissistic or like the superficial part about.
Yeah, no, that's 100% valid. I'm gonna have to say, so I never thought that I would live anywhere else. And when we were put in that situation of, you know, which you are very aware of because you were our neighbor, our landlord passing, and then property management coming in with real estate and how outrageous it is in Los Angeles, we were put in this predicament of, you know, these are the options that we have. So what's going to bring us joy? Where do we see ourselves with what we do within our industries that we feel we can grow in? Sorry for that noise. And we found ourselves always coming back to Orlando, Florida. And this is a big melting pot. This is a big diverse, just multi-generational, international destination for so many different people. And I love that. Did I have reservations first coming in? Absolutely. Was I concerned about, you know, it being politically like a red state and all the things? And I'm gay, I'm a man of color, and I'm married to a man. You know what I mean? But I trusted the process. I was kind to myself. I gave myself grace. And as I came and pursued projects that I had been wanting to fruition, which I had no time in LA to do, like the book, the palette, all the stuff. The universe showed me. The universe showed me that, you know what? You're the light you have, that love that you and your husband carry. You can create community and home wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you live. As long as you guys have together and you have those same values together and you talk to each other about it, then that's naturally going to attract the good. And it did. Now I'm seeing these beautiful lights within the fitness industry for Johnny, within the beauty industry for myself. And you know what it is though? I'm continuing to be of service. So that's always my mission statement. Be of service to others, humanity. How can I help you? Therefore, it's unselfish. And it naturally comes back and helps me without even me being trying. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the number one thing, is that wherever I go, I want to leave a positive impact. I want you to not remember the makeup or the material things of it. I want you to remember how you felt. Like, how did I make you feel when I spoke to you? When does that make sense? Or
Yeah,
when you
totally.
looked in that mirror. So that's my mission now. And it's aligned with Johnny's, and I feel it's domino affecting around, and it's really beautiful. So I encourage you to continue to chase that 10%, so that will counteract and also, you know, bring you the love and light that you're in search for. But thank you for being so vulnerable and open about that. I love that so much. What are some highlights? What are some moments of like, dang, I did that. The 10%. Can we talk about that you were just so proud of, that just kind of stood out, and you want to look back and it's on your, you know, when you pass, it's on your what's it called? The stone. It's on your stone.
Well, the
What is it gonna
10%, I
say?
mean, for me, one of the things is like, what I'm proud of is, you know, coming from where I came from, where it is like following my heart and just pack my bags and move to LA, you know, because at the end of the day,
Yeah,
I was born
that's a
in a jungle and basically, literally, and figuratively, And then I grew up in Switzerland where everything is like secure and
Certain way.
a certain
Yeah.
way. And I just like, I mean, I just moved out here with no backup plan, you know, and I knew I have no family to support. And I mean, in LA, you can get a lot of numbers if you want to get have sex, but if you're trying to if you need some help, you cannot call anyone, right? And so,
Right.
yeah, I think that's one, like, you know, I will never have, when I'm old, one of my biggest fear was like to ask myself, what if? And that's something I don't have to ask anymore, you know?
Yeah, I just got chills. That was beautifully said. Thank you. I love that. So cool. All right, you guys. So for season two, we have another favorite segment of mine where we get to spotlight our guests.
The library is open! Yeah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
And it is called The Library is Open. No shade. This is to share light. This is an opportunity for Viet to share a book they're currently reading or their favorite book from the past. And what are your top three reasons why, Viet? So go for it.
Okay. No, three books or just one book?
One book and your three reasons why.
Oh, okay, good. So then my favorite book that I've been reading for a long time and always read it over and over again is this book. It's from Christiane Berland, The Key to Self-Liberation. And this book is more like an encyclopedia of psychosomatics. So if you haven't, because I said the answer, I'm taking care of my body. So whenever I have an issue, like elbow issue, whatever issue, it's similar to like Louise Hay, she made it popular, you know, where you like read, okay, I have issue with my elbows, and then
Yeah.
like, what is the reason?
It's like holistic stuff.
Yeah, what can I meditate? What are my thoughts about it? And this is just, it's just more detailed. It's like a huge and a thick book. So this is one of my
Can you
go-to
hold it up
books.
Again, please? Christiane Berland. That's beautiful. I like the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the book that I'm reading right now. And there's also another book from Dr. Ravini, It's Not
Okay.
You. And it's about identifying and healing from narcissistic people. And for me, it's not specifically like a person, it's just like more at me trying to navigate this industry and trying to stay healthy in a way, you know, because I mean the typical traits of narcissistic people is love bombing, devaluation, and discard, and then comes hoovering, you know. And if you think about it, you know, in our industry, like the love bombing part is like when they want you, you know, like you audition, you're the best, you want to be in front of the camera, you know, but then while you do it during rehearsals or on camera, like, well, your hair is too long. You're too feminine. Like you're too not muscular enough. You know, you treat like this, it's devaluing you.
All the nitpicking, yeah.
Yeah, and then the discard is then when they're done with you, you're done. You know, and you have to deal with it. You know, but the fact, for example, I mean, the latest music video that I did was for Lenny Kravitz, you know?
Yeah.
It's 2 months in, the music has come out. None of the dancer has been paid yet. Just, you know, like this is like,
the reality
you know,
of it.
But then once they want you again, they start hovering. So this kind of thing, I try to navigate it. Like that's a good book for me as well right
I
now.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So The Key to Self-Liberation, and the second one was It's Not You. I'll put that in the description. Thank you so much. All right, very cool. I could talk to you forever like this because we're friends and we have a history, but this is another segment that I really enjoy, and it's more of like rapid questions. So they're just random questions intuitively. If you want to answer, not think about it too hard. It's called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. Question number one for you, Viet. Who is your hero and why?
You know, I thought about it a lot, and I think my biggest hero, and I'm going to tell you why, is my father. You know, and it's a little bit of a tragic story, but you know, when I told you we flew from Vietnam to Malaysia with a boat, and we're called boat people. So if you look at pictures of that from the war, it was a tiny boat, and 180 people were stacked on this boat, and we drove over the sea for 3 days and 3 nights. The day we left Vietnam, there were three boats. One of them got hijacked by the pilot. The other one, and when it got hijacked by the pilot separated the woman and the man. They raped the woman, and the man had to jump into the water, so they killed them. The other boat, right before it arrived in Malaysia, one of the border police, they pulled the boat back into the sea, and then it broke, and the people drowned. And those out of three boats, only one of them arrived, and it was the boat that my father drove because he was a captain then. So in my eyes, he has saved 84 people, and he also has saved my life, you know. But if for him, this whole experience of war was such dramatic, and that when he moved to Switzerland, there was finally peace, but he starts drinking, you know, he became alcoholic, and in his mind, I think he never realized how much of a hero he was for those people, you know, and for me as well. So yes, kind of a hero for me.
What is your dad's name?
Father's name is Can Dang.
Shout out to Kong Dong. I don't know if I said that correctly, but wow, that was a really beautiful story. I felt all of it. And yes, dad is a hero. And without his, maybe that's the courageousness that I'm vibing off. It's your dad. And he unfortunately suffered from a little bit of TP. Didn't see his self-worth. And that comes with, you know, generations are not exposed to the self-care and the mental health opportunities and references that we now have access to. So he's so proud of you. Is he still with us?
No, he had cancer, pancreatic cancer based on alcohol.
Yeah. But mom is still with us, and I have met her, and she is stunning and always looks so beautiful and like ageless. She's yeah, just like you. You're going to be like that. So, wow. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. Very cool. Viet, what is question number two for wrapping up my four artist rapid cues? What is your favorite music album of all time and why? I know, Mr. Choreographer. You're on a deserted island.
I think my answer is going to to surprise you. I don't listen to a lot of music, you know.
That's okay.
When I listen to music, my mind goes into choreographer mode, and I just do movements, and I listen to one song over and over. I can listen to one song the whole month, you know, over and over again. So for me, and I was thinking about what is the album I've been listening in my whole life, and it's been one of my favorite ones, and it's been Jason Stevenson's Guided Meditations. Whenever I want to sleep, have a fly, whenever I have something, I just go on YouTube, I look for Jason Stevenson's Guided Meditation, and that's been bringing me through life. That's my favorite album. He's not an artist, but...
That's valid. No, I love that. Yeah. Hello, this is called Mindful Artistry for a reason. So Jason Stevenson's Meditation. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And this is going to resonate with somebody, I know. So it doesn't always have to be like pop or rock or dance. It can be... Music is all, you know, it's all genres.
It's also different for me because, you know, sometimes you're a fan of someone, you know, sometimes it's good not to meet your idols. And then you start working for them, you're like, oh no, I don't know, I'm not going to listen to your music again, you know, or like,
yeah.
I mean, you listen to music, but you cannot forget the treatment. So I'm like.
And there's also a thing when you're on set for music videos where they shoot them in different frequencies and different speeds. So you have like your regular tone, you have your halftime and your double time. So that song, that particular year, especially I can imagine as a choreographer, and I'm just doing hair and makeup. So I can imagine that song, it's like embedded in your brain at a point. It's like you're over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like days of it. And some music videos are treated like cinema. They're like films. They're like short films. So they're multiple days. So I can imagine that. Yeah. So I love that you chose Meditation for your music album. That's very cool. All right. We have one more question for wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. Question number three. What is your favorite quote of all time? and why?
My favorite quote is when you stop chasing, you give the right things a chance to catch you. That's my favorite quote. And yeah, I think it's just self-explanatory. And I mentioned many times already, I believe in like magnetism, that you attract the things. I don't like inside, like yeah, internal, like internal, I don't believe in go and chase and look for and fight for the things anymore, because it's not, it might be successful, it might work, but I wonder for how long,
Oh, that's beautiful. And who's this quote from? Is it just like a general quote that you've
I don't know who
discovered?
it is from. I just found it on
No, I love it. So one more time, when you stop chasing.
you give the right things a chance to catch you.
Love that. Beautiful. Well said, my friend. Bravo. Thank you so much. That was awesome. You guys, Viet Dang, where can we follow you? What's the next project? Anything that you want to plug? Maybe you do want to do your hoodie stuff. I don't know. Or maybe I see a Viet Dang book in the future too. I would love to help you with that if you pursue that.
Oh, we can talk about that. I wrote a few. I wrote 100 pages last a
Okay,
few years ago,
you're onto a right track.
but
I'm happy to
I'm
help
not
you.
happy with it yet. Well, you can find me on Instagram at Dang Dang Viet, and also my homepage, vietdang.com or .net or .ch, which is Switzerland, not China, by the way.
She's
And
universal.
yeah,
Yes.
so that's it. And yeah.
I love that. I love you. Thank you so much. You guys, this is Mindful Artist Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, while balancing spirituality and being an entrepreneur. That song you're about to hear is called Mi Corazón. Make sure that you give it a thumbs up. Give us some ratings, some reviews, share this with somebody that you love. And if you're an aspiring entrepreneur that is creative while balancing your life, email me at mindfulartist@podcast.gmail.com. Maybe you'll be a guest on our next episode. Till the next time, you guys, thank you so much. Make an impact in somebody's lives. Much love and light to you all. Bye, Viet. Love you. Bye,
I
everybody.
know.